This week, as we gather with friends and family to give thanks to God, take some time to remember those pilgrims and Indians at that first Thanksgiving. The pilgrims risked much to come to America, and half of them died that first winter. Their dependence on God and their friendship with the Indians, who taught them how to farm and hunt in America, helped them through that difficult first year, and they gave thanks for the harvest. Likewise, we give thanks to God for His rich blessings.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
This week we will be celebrating Thanksgiving, and this is a time that, of course, originates. There are many, many Thanksgivings and calls to give thanks in the Bible, but in America, this tradition comes because of that first Thanksgiving that was celebrated between the pilgrims and the Indians. And you may recall that the pilgrims came over here to flee religious persecution and to establish religious freedom. And they landed, and before they even embarked onto the land, they actually entered into a covenant with God. It was not easy for them, though. Half of them died that first winter, and perhaps all of them would have died if it weren't for the Indians that helped teach them how to plant crops and how to fish and how to survive in the New World. And they certainly endured much. But when the harvest came, they gathered together and gave thanks to God. And so we this week will gather together and give thanks to God. And we're going to look at some principles from Scripture that talk about giving thanks to God. And one, the first one, is that we are to rejoice always. We're to, and this is really something that we need to sometimes make a conscious effort to do so. Because you know what? Sometimes we don't feel like rejoicing. You know, there's a lot of people that are very happy about some of the outcomes of the election. Some people that aren't happy about the election. There are other people, many people, really didn't go through a lot with the hurricanes that came through Florida and the other states. But there are some people that are devastated by what actually happened. And yet, God still tells us to rejoice always. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus." And this particular verse is something that really is not easy to do, but it is something that God calls us to do. We mentioned earlier some of the devastation that some people had in the hurricanes that actually came just recently. You know, one of our customers, Al's Family Farms, they were actually at their building and they were working on Wednesday, the day that Hurricane Milton started coming in to the state of Florida. And they were actually finishing up some things, and they left their property. And about 20 minutes later, a tornado was spawned by the hurricane and actually hit their building, decimated their building. The metal beams were just bent. The building was actually torn to pieces. You can actually walk into their call center without going through a door or a window, and you would be able to look up and see the sky. and the sealing material was on the floor. Yet if you call the owner's cell phone and he doesn't answer and you get his voicemail, he mentions that thankfully they were all safe and they had left the property just a few minutes before the tornado hit. But he also mentions that the property was annihilated. But he quotes this verse, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." And he says, that's what the Bible says, and that's what I'm going with. And that's a testimony. It's not easy to do when you're going through a difficult time. It's easy to rejoice when you're going through, when everything's great, when you get a raise or you land a sales deal, or maybe you have your own company and you land a new customer. When things are going well for you, when you're prosperous, it's very easy to rejoice. But when things are tough, it's not easy to rejoice. Think about this. This verse was written by the Apostle Paul, who had experience with rejoicing always. As you read through the Bible, you'll see that there was one time that he was actually thrown into jail, and he was also beaten. And rather than moaning and groaning, which most people would not complain about that, or not really blame him if he did moan and groan, or maybe if he wanted to go to sleep because it was about midnight. But what did he do? What did Paul and Silas do? They actually rejoiced in the Lord. They praised God, and God showed up and actually shook the prison to the point that the doors opened up, and the prison guard was about to fall on his sword to commit suicide because he thought that all of the prisoners had escaped. God actually used that to bring him and his whole family into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, because rather than grumbling, rather than doing what was necessary or natural, rather than even, you know, some people, when they go through tough times, they blame God. You know, they didn't blame God. You know, God, look what happened. We stood for you. We preached the gospel, and look where it got us. Some people do that. Some people blame God. Some people grumble. Some people groan. Some people are despondent. Some people are depressed. And it's difficult. You have to fight that. You have to will to do what God says to do. Will is where your will determines that you're going to obey God, even sometimes when it doesn't make sense, even sometimes when it's difficult to do. To rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. And certainly, you may not be rejoicing for what happened. Although, you know, there's a joke. You know, one of the denominations, or one of the beliefs in Christianity, is the belief in the sovereignty of God. And some people that believe in the sovereignty of God believe in it to the extent that they actually believe that everything in their life is preordained. And so there's a joke where someone that believes that way falls down the stairs, and he gets up and says, "Wow, well, I'm glad that's over with." I mean, he just realizes, or he believes that God had planned that, and he's glad that he doesn't have to face that he already ended up with it. But really, we need to rejoice in the Lord always, not because of our circumstances, but we rejoice because he is God, he is sovereign, and even in the midst of our deepest, darkest hour, God is still there. Even when Paul and Silas were in that jail and they were beaten, they were thrown into prison and they were beaten, God was still there with them, and they rejoiced in God. Corrie ten Boom, who was put into a concentration camp for hiding Jews during the World War II, and when the Nazis were actually killing Jews, her family hid Jews and actually were successful in smuggling, getting several of them smuggled out of the country, so that they could be safe. Well, she and her family were arrested. They were taken into concentration camps. Her dad died there. Her sister died there. She would have died there, but she was actually released by a clerical error. At the moment of their deepest despair, one of the things that she wrote is that there is no pit that is so deep that God is not deeper still. And certain things that many people would look at as a problem or something that you would not be desirable, they even looked at and rejoiced in those types of things. Like, for instance, if there was lice in their dormitory or in their whatever they called the area where they were, if there was lice there, they rejoiced because the prison guards would actually leave them alone and not harass them. And they would rejoice in that. I remember reading Tortured for His Faith, where I believe it was Harlan Popov talks about they would get soup, and if one person had one bean in his soup, the entire group would actually rejoice for that person that had one bean in his soup. You know, there are people in the world today that would gladly trade places with you, even if you went through, even if you had everything taken away from you with the storms, even if you lost everything, they would gladly trade places with you because they live in countries where they don't have the opportunity to work and receive a reward for their labor, where they don't have the same opportunities that we have in America. We should always rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. He goes on, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. And then he says, be anxious for nothing. So this anxious, this is really comes from the word, or the word anxiety is associated with this word. And worry is another synonym for this word. And the Bible tells us not to worry, to be anxious for nothing, to not worry, to not be dismayed, to not have cares of this earth. And that is, by the way, not something that comes naturally to many people. Some people are, you know, don't worry and they're just carefree. And other people, you know, do worry. And in fact, some people may worry and you don't even really know that they're worried because they internalize it. But the Bible here says that we're to be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So we are to come before God in prayer and with prayer and supplication. So we are to pray to God to make our request and bring our needs before the Lord in prayer. But we're also, even as we're praying, to thank him because we know that he has answered prayers in the past. By the way, if you've never prayed, maybe you don't know that God can answer prayers. But you need to have faith and trust that he will answer your prayers and thank him for that answer even before that answer comes. You know, there have been times in our business. There was one time in our business where we really had a big need in our business, and we got together as a family and we prayed and we lifted that request up to God and we presented it to God. And the next day we had a customer that owed us quite a bit of money. And the next day we received a check for everything that they owed us. You see, even before we got before, even before we gathered as a family to pray, even before we made our prayer and supplication unto God, God had already sent the request. He had already fulfilled the answer to that, to our prayers, even before we even had made that prayer. So we, because we know, if you have been a Christian for a while and you've believed in God and you've prayed and you've seen God answer prayers, you can come to God and you can, by experience, know that He has answered prayers in the past, and you can thank Him with faith that He will answer those prayers that you're praying. It doesn't necessarily mean that we get everything that we ask for. You know, we do have to ask according to God's principles and God's will, and we need to be subject to His will. You know, Jesus prayed, you know, that God would take that burden and He wouldn't have to go to the cross. But thankfully, He was also willing to go to the cross so that you could be saved, so that I could be saved, so that we can repent of our sins and come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to come before God with prayers and supplication, with thanksgiving. We're to let our requests be made known to God. And here's the result of that. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You see, when you make a decision to not worry, to not be anxious, the Bible even talks that we are to cast our cares. I believe that's in one of Peter's epistles, to cast our cares upon the Lord because He cares for us. And those words are actually different words. So the word our cares is similar to worry or anxiety. We're to cast that upon the Lord. Why? Because He cares for us, similar to how a mother would care for her child or a nurse would care for a patient. God cares for us more than a father or mother would care for their own child. He cares for us more than a nurse would care for a patient. God cares for us, and for that we should cast our cares upon Him. As a result, instead of being anxious, when we come to God with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, and let our requests be made known to God, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. This is a difficult lesson to learn. It's a lesson that's more difficult for some people than for other people. For me, it was very, very difficult to learn how to not worry, how to not be anxious, how to not take those cares upon myself, but to cast them upon the Lord, to come before God in prayer, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, thanking God for the answer, even before I have received the answer. It took me quite a bit of time to learn that. But you know what? I might not even be alive today if I hadn't learned that lesson. Because by my nature, I am someone that does internalize those pressures. And even as a young man in college, my first year in college, I was under a lot of stress and pressure trying to, you know, learn everything I needed to learn and make good grades. And my intestines actually were tied in a knot. My mother would say to me after this, "Don't get your intestines tied in a knot." And she would encourage me to actually not worry, but to cast those cares upon the Lord. And you know, after that surgery, I really had to spend time praying. I had to spend time learning to not worry, to not be dismayed, to not actually be anxious, to not take those cares upon myself, to cast my cares upon the Lord because he cared for me. I had to learn to come before God with prayers and supplication. I had to learn to be thankful, and I had to learn to be diligent. You know, it's not just good enough to actually pray that God would provide for us. We also do need to get up and be diligent and go to work. Or if you don't have a job, be diligent to find work. Be diligent to do your part as well. But thanking God and praying to him and lifting up your needs to him and coming to him with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving to let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, our Lord. And people will look at you and wonder, why are you not upset? Why do you have this peace? Why do you have this peace doesn't make sense? I've been in situations since that surgery that I mentioned, and since learning how to cast my cares upon the Lord, I've been in situations where people have actually commented, how are you so calm? What are you going through? I remember when my wife was pregnant with our first child, she actually had preeclampsia. And the doctor said, we don't really know what causes this. We know the solution is. The solution is to deliver the baby. But we want to have your baby inside of you as long as you can bear that child. When your life starts to be put at risk, well, then we'll actually deliver the baby. But until that time comes, we want the baby to grow there, because they said, we want the baby to be as developed as possible. We want your daughter to actually be 5 pounds and be breathing on her own. And we went to the doctors and they were testing her. And at one of the appointments, they were about to release her. And then when the doctor actually tapped her knee, and her knee, you know, the knee's supposed to move when you tap right underneath the knee didn't move, the leg didn't move. And so, you know, he said, you're going to the hospital. So she went to the hospital. They were actually about to release her from the hospital when her vital signs actually took a turn for the worse. And they started to try to induce labor. But she was 5 weeks early, and she just didn't induce. I mean, and this was kind of weird, because we had really only taken one of the classes where they teach you what you're supposed to do. So we didn't really have any idea what to do and how to go through labor. And of course, if you've ever experienced or known anyone that's experienced the chemical induced labor, it's a more violent type of labor. But even though she went through that, she actually never fully went into labor. She never dilated, and she wasn't able to have the baby vaginally. And so the next morning they came in, and the doctor said, well, we're going to have to do emergency cesarean section. And we asked when, and he said within the hour. It did take them longer because my wife's blood count was low. She had to actually get 2 counts of platelets before she could go through the surgery. Even after the surgery, her blood count was low. She had to eventually get 2 pints of blood in the hospital before she was able to really be strong enough to actually survive and make it and fully recover. While we knew that she was in the surgery, there were some family members that were actually worrying and talking about how horrible the hospitals are and how they'll just leave you to die. But I was praying. My dad was praying. We were lifting this up to God. We weren't worrying. We weren't anxious. We certainly, you watch the people at the hospital, But you have to trust God, and you have to present your prayer and supplication to Him. And you have to do so with thanksgiving. And, you know, there were people that came to me and said, "Wow, why are you so calm?" And it's because of learning this principle to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And again, that peace that passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Thankfully, our daughter was born. She weighed exactly 5 pounds. She was breathing on her own. I saw her moments after she was delivered, and she was in the neonatal ICU, and she was there, and I saw her. She actually stopped breathing for a few seconds, and I rubbed my fingers on the bottom of her foot, and she started breathing again. And we thank God that God brought us through victoriously in that situation. But even if my wife had died, or our daughter had died, or both of them had died, I still would have needed to obey this passage to rejoice in the Lord, and again say rejoice. So this is what God wants us to do. This is what He calls us to do. And when we have a need, whatever we're going through, whatever grief you're going through, whatever trauma you're going through, whatever hardship you're going through, to be anxious for nothing, to not worry about that, to cast your cares upon the Lord, and to bring your prayers and your supplication to God with thanksgiving, and bring your request to Him, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
This week, as we gather with friends and family to give thanks to God, take some time to remember those pilgrims and Indians at that first Thanksgiving. The pilgrims risked much to come to America, and half of them died that first winter. Their dependence on God and their friendship with the Indians, who taught them how to farm and hunt in America, helped them through that difficult first year, and they gave thanks for the harvest. Likewise, we give thanks to God for His rich blessings.
7 million people suffer with Alzheimer's or dementia. Alzheimer Treatment Centers of America, a business partner with WCNO, can treat these conditions. Alzheimer's Treatment Centers of America has opened a clinic in Port St. Lucie and gives hope to those who suffer with these diseases. Using a patented artificial intelligence protocol, 75% of patients in the study had no further decline in their mild cognitive impairment. ATCA's team spent 12 years developing these treatments. They may be reached at 772-298-4477 or at atca.ai.
Hello, this is Pastor Chaco Varghese inviting you to listen to Word of Eternal Life every Monday at 5:30 a.m. to learn more about God's plan of eternal life through Jesus Christ here at WCNO 89.9 FM.